Now we're dealing with mystery here. Physical proximity between spiritual beings, and we are spiritual beings. Physical proximity between spiritual beings is the communication of their love. God then became man that he might be physically near to us. And of course, what does he want? Well, should I even ask the question? He wants us to be near to him. And how? Physically. That's why we've got a body. Those who were contemporaries of Christ during his visible stay on earth, remember, I think I told you, never for the rest of your life ever say, when Christ was on earth, never say that. That's heresy. When Christ was on earth, what are you talking about? When Christ was visibly on earth, he is on earth. And he better be. Can you imagine a world in which Christ was not present in the world? During his stay in Palestine, the people could see his face, hear his words. And when he blessed them, they could feel the touch of his hand. Physical nearness to Jesus Christ back to the first century was both a profession of their faith, of the people who wanted to be nearer to him, but even there was more to this man, Jesus of Nazareth, than they could see or hear. It was also the promise of his blessings. The nearer they got to him, the more wonders he would work. Absolutely speaking, could Christ say, have restored sight to the blind without covering their blinded eyes with his saliva? Of course he could have. Could he have raised the widow's son, remember, of Nain, being carried to the cemetery? He's quite dead. Could he have raised that widow's son back to life if he were 100 miles away? Or Lazarus? Lazarus was there, remember, at the grave. I like to repeat his sister's comment, remember? And by now, he stinketh. Which, by the way, is the fate of all of us. The part of us that will die. Did Jesus have to say, Lazarus, come forth? No. Did he? Yes. He spoke audible words, touched with tangible hands. Why? And this is the faith that Christ's humanity, since God has become man, this is an article of faith, since God has become man, all the graces that come from God come through the humanity of Jesus Christ. Memorize that. Everything is locked up in that. All the graces that God gives to the human race come from God indeed, but through the humanity of Christ. I've taught too many priests. I've struggled with too many priests to keep them in the faith. And so many, well, I know, just don't know, just never crack their skulls. Now, the essence of the real presence is God become man. And the stress is man, that humanity. Which we believe is united in one divine person with the divinity. And that's why strange verb. Remember, we read the definition of the Council of Trent. That Jesus Christ, body, soul, divinity, is contained. Contained. Well, where that host is, call it a container. That's what the church uses. Use that word. Containator. Is contained within. The humanity of Christ is within that host. You break the host, humanity remains in both particles of the host. I repeat. The source of grace is Christ as God. But the channel of grace is Christ as man. It is through his humanity that he communicates the graces that he won for a sinful human race on the cross. It is this Jesus Christ, known as glorified humanity, who is in our midst. That's why he is here. He wants to be near to us physically, so we can be near to him physically. He wants us to adore him as our God, even though we cannot perceive this humanity with our bodily eyes. No more than his contemporaries in Palestine could perceive his divinity except by believing that the man Jesus of Nazareth was the eternal Son of the eternal Father. They saw a man. They were to believe that's God. You don't even see a man. We see a host. You believe behind that host is a man, and behind that man is God. It's the faith. This is it. Capital I, capital T. This is it. This is Catholic Christianity. Everything else is a substitute or a counterfeit. This brings us then to the practical question of why prayer before the Blessed Sacrament is so pleasing to our Lord and so powerful to pray before the Holy Eucharist. Can I tell you? Try it. It works. It works. Said it before. I try to write all my manuscripts before the Blessed Sacrament. What then is the answer to why prayer before the Blessed Sacrament is so pleasing to God and so powerful? First, because praying before the Blessed Sacrament demands our drawing on the deepest recesses of our faith. Remember Christ telling us, if you had enough faith, you could move mountains. I mean it. I know it. You can move mountains. And there are mountains to move. And the biggest mountain is not Mount Everest. It is the stubborn human will. And the higher that person's position in church or society, the harder it is to move that will. When we pray, then, before the Blessed Sacrament, we are professing our faith in the incarnation. We believe that God became man, that He is man, and that He is now literally, actually, I like the adverb, geographically, on our altars, as the same Christ who ascended into heaven on Ascension Thursday. I'll never forget the talk that the late Pope Pius XII gave a year before he became Pope. The last International Eucharistic Congress in Hungary was in Budapest. And then Cardinal Pacelli spoke to the audience. He told the tens of thousands of people there, as Catholics, we believe that although Jesus ascended into heaven, He has not left the earth. That's it. That is why, oh, pray for us priests. That is why Christ ordained His apostles, so they in turn could pass on their power of bringing and keeping Jesus Christ on earth. We know that prayer is fundamentally adoration of the one true God. But when we pray before the Blessed Sacrament, we believe in what faith this takes. We believe we are venerating the God who became man. I've underlined the word man or human. Is God man you're adoring, even though we do not see this humanity? That's faith. If you see and experience something, well, that's knowledge, rational or experiential knowledge. That's not faith. Faith presumes you do not see, and yet you believe. We believe behind what looks like bread, as we've been saying, is a living man. Behind this living man is the living God. Another prayer of Thomas Aquinas, by the way, at least some little collection of the writings of Thomas Aquinas. Read it. He is great. The Adoro Te, the famous hymns to the Holy Eucharist, says Aquinas, I adore you devoutly, God yet unseen. Only the Godhead was hidden on the cross, but here the humanity is hidden as well. Yet I believe and acknowledge them both and make the same request as did the repentant thief. Lord, have mercy. Oh, the thief on Christ's right could see was a man bleeding to death. But he believed that that man was his Lord and asked him, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? I know what I'm talking about. Too many years of academic study, to be exact, 31 years. You name the degrees and you pile them up. If we get a doctorate in theology, so much dust. It is faith, faith that we need. And it's a massive loss of faith in so many parts of a once Christian United States. And when we pray before the Blessed Sacrament, we believe everything that as Catholics we're expected to believe, everything. That's why the Eucharist is called the mystery of faith. the foundational act of faith, as I call it, that we make when we pray before the Eucharist is our belief that we are speaking to Jesus Christ, the Son of God who became the Son of Mary. We speak in human words, and listen to this, and we must say, He hears us with human ears. Do you hear me? Christ in the Blessed Sacrament hears us with human ears. And if I had you in class and I was grading you, you didn't say that, I'd flunk you. And over the years, I flunked enough priests whom I was teaching. In the Eucharist, Jesus hears us with human ears. We believe in Him as our God, become man, without seeing His humanity. But He knows us with His divine mind and can see us honest. Jesus can see us with His human eyes. We go on, asking, why is prayer before the Holy Eucharist so important? Because prayer before the Blessed Sacrament evokes faith in the power of Jesus Christ. For me, one of the most sobering statements of the Gospels was when the evangelist tells us that on one occasion our Lord could not work miracles. Remember? In a certain place. And why? Because of the people's lack of faith. As we reflect on this fact, the mildest word I can use is, we should be startled. Are we really saying that the Almighty God cannot do something? Well, we better. Of course, God is Almighty. But this Almighty God respects our human freedom. We must want to believe. And if we want to believe, there is no limit to what this Almighty God will do. There's only one condition. The only condition is that we need it. The only condition. If we need it, and we come to Him before the Blessed Sacrament, He will give it. What are we saying? You're saying that history repeats itself. It is the same Jesus Christ, now on earth in the Eucharist, has walked the streets of Galilee. There was no limit to His exercise of divine power in Asia Minor in the first century of the Christian era. But there was a condition. Am I clear? No limit, but a condition. What's the condition? Faith. Faith. When I finished my graduate studies in Europe and came back to the States, I had been hospitalized in Europe, so they gave me my degree and shipped me back home. So I had several months before I began teaching theology to my Jesuit students. And got a job as chaplain at a home for retarded girls. 200 retarded girls. They graduated at the age of 16, provided they had reached the normal age of reason. But I can tell you, I came to know those children. I counseled them. I heard their confessions. I spoke to them. By all intellectual quotients, they were severely retarded. But there was a mind there. A mind enlightened by the gift of faith. When I talked to them as I'm talking to you, I didn't use the words. Oh, I watched my vocabulary. But those children knew exactly what I was saying when I said, Jesus is here. That's what Christ meant when he told us. As we grow up, we over-educated, pardon the expression, ignoramuses. Beginning with myself, grow up in the simplicity of faith of a child. And I don't apologize to anybody on my academic side. One reason I think the Lord has put me through so many years. They know a foreign language, I know the foreign language. They read something, I read it. They may have read something that I wrote. It is not intellectualism. It is simple, childlike faith. It's real. And then we're talking about the power that Christ had and has. And being the same identical Jesus, there is no limit to his exercise of this divine power in the United States or in Europe or anywhere where he is present in the Holy Eucharist. He performed miracles when he calmed the storm at sea. He restored sight to the blind, raised the dead Lazarus from the grave. Same identical miracle worker. I wouldn't have the gall to talk this language unless I could tell you, and I mean it works. This is sheer American pragmatism. It works. All he wants of us. That's all. And I hope you're not questioning what I'm doing. This is not a homily. Not a pious exhortation. This is real life. And the more we need from God, which, by all standards, is a miracle. So what's new? He'll work them. And I repeat what I said before. If there's, as far as God is concerned, one miracle is as easy as another. But at least humanly speaking, what most demand the exercise of a divine miraculous power is to change stubborn human wills to submit to the will of God. And that means, oh, I know it. It means to love the cross. Father, you're joking. No, I'm not. It's real. And it's not psychopathic, I assure you. Sure, it's miraculous. So what? That's what Christ is on earth for. I've got one more area to cover. The challenge to the real peasants today. And if you don't mind, it's I may go a little over time. Is that okay? It is impossible to exaggerate the critical importance of a sustained faith in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. Nothing less than the survival of the Catholic Church in some parts of the world is in the balance, including the United States. I mean it. Churches without tabernacles. Eucharistic adoration positively discouraged. Writings that confuse and even openly deny the real, physical, corporeal presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. You know the Black Litany as well as I do, and it's black. All manifestations of a weakening, of a loss of faith in the real presence. Underlying this inversion of Catholic Christianity is the concession that so many have made to a world. I think you've heard this before. You know the English phrase, hocus pocus? Coined in England by the apostates after Henry VIII destroyed the Catholic faith in his country. Blasphemously mimicking the words hoc est corpus meum, this is my body. We're living in a world which thinks we are fools. That our sacrifice of the Mass, it's in the English dictionary, is hocus pocus. No wonder so many once-believing Catholics, to put it mildly, I'm bewildered. We who believe that the words of consecration are not, dear God, hocus pocus, but are the words of God Himself become man, changing ordinary bread and wine into the living Christ. We'd better be aware of what's going on. There was a tide, a deluge of unbelief sweeping over once believing Catholic families who are now either confused or in doubt or simply denying. For the martyr Ignatius of Antioch died 107 AD, declared, I quote, the Eucharist is the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, unquote. We're saying this is a challenge. Some of us who are younger hardly even know a really believing United States. I can assure you there was one. But we are being challenged. By definition, a challenge is an invitation to do something extraordinary. Those whose faith in the real presence is still strong, pardon me, bad grammar, but good theology. That's us. Our faith is being challenged in two ways. We are being tested and tried if we are tempted, in order that our faith might become stronger than might ever have been possible, except for the wave of Eucharistic unbelief that is penetrating our Catholic atmosphere. Am I making sense? That is why God allows such rampant denial and desecration of the Holy Eucharist to strengthen our faith. But that's not all. Believers in the real presence are being challenged. That's again us. To exercise our faith by putting what we believe into practice. They're being told, and the present Holy Father couldn't be plainer, I'm sharing with you, I mean it, literally, verbally, the desires of the present Bishop of Rome. Called to Rome for that purpose, and I was going to show you the Eucharistic Adoration newsletter for bishops, which we've been publishing now for about 5 years. Massive loss of faith in the key, and for that reason the symbol of the loss of Catholic faith in so many once firmly Catholic circles is the real presence. When are we being told? We are being told, and I'm literally quoting the Vicar of Christ, to pray before the Eucharist for as long a time and as often as we can. Don't tell me that's going to be easier. And there's more conversion to do than most of us realize. I mean this. I'm under orders of the Holy Father to tell you this. That's why I'm going to Rome on the 31st of May to further implement and develop what the Pope says is the one thing that will save America. Restoration of faith, but stronger than ever before, in Christ's abiding presence on earth in the Eucharist. They're being invited by Christ Himself to promote faith in the real presence in others. I mean this. Our Lord wants you to become, I'm not indulging in rhetoric, wants you to become apostles of the real presence. A-R-P, apostles of the real presence. But you've got to be convinced yourself. You're being called upon to ask our Eucharistic Lord to perform nothing less than miracles of conversion among those who have fallen victims to the plague of Eucharistic unbelief in our day. 21 years in working for the Holy See has taught me many things, much of which is not communicable. I can share this with you. The seat, the heart of the crisis in the Catholic Church is a crisis of faith. And the heart of this crisis of faith is faith in the real presence. Pray for the conversion. Oh, how many names I could give you. Pages. One last word. Have all of you got a copy of this little leaflet? Blessed Claude, and less than. Today is the 17th. Plus 14 is 31. Is that right? 2 weeks from today. You'll be seeing Claude. I was introduced to him my first year in the novitiate. What I found out from him was what I'm trying to share with you. Jesus Christ, He is here. And He is here with His human heart, a real human heart, palpitating, not a figure of speech, with love for us. What He wants us is to be with Him, tell Him we love Him. Then, if we need a miracle or two, well, no problem. During this quincentennial year, 500th anniversary of the discovery of America, Holy Father hopes and prays that we Americans will rediscover the faith that Christopher Columbus, the Catholic, brought to our shores, because America needs, desperately needs, Jesus Christ. But He's here. We need miracles. Sure we do. He's ready to perform them on one condition, and we believe. Thank you for listening.